Well, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe and Angel. Welcome to another Mailbag Monday, where Angel and I take time and answer questions that you guys have sent in. There are quite a few, so let's jump in, Angel.
Oh, we're so glad to be here today. So, first of all, thank you so much for your support. You helped make this happen,
yes.
And you really bless us. Send in your questions. We love hearing from you. And if you need prayer, send that in, too, because we certainly would love to agree with you. All right, Joe, my wife and I weathered the financial storm during COVID. But now it seems like we're struggling to make ends meet. I'm just not sure what to do. I can get a second job, but don't want to sacrifice the little time my wife and I already have together.
Well, we've all been there. Everybody's been there, even before COVID. And so I have to watch how I answer this because I grew up in a very blue-collar family. And we didn't believe in a 40-hour work week. We have to, we're going to work 60 hours a week because we're dropping babies and, you know, we got stuff we need to pay for. My sister, when I was a kid, got shot in a hunting accident. Her kidney stopped working. She had a transplant. It was expensive. Had to get shots every day. And we're just rent was $35 a month. It was cheap. You know, gasoline was 25 cents a gallon. But all of a sudden, man, we are struggling to make ends meet. So I grew up in a family. Like, what are you trying to do? We're trying to make ends meet. What are you going to do? We're going to do extra jobs. So my dad was an electrician. So every weekend, we rewired a house or a boat dock or did something for somebody. We worked all the time. You know, it was a six-day week, automatically work week of every week. And so I kind of grew up with that. So when I became an engineer, I thought, hey, I'm doing good. Well, I started dropping a lot of babies. So we're going to do, well, I might take a job. And they'd ask you, hey, Joe, can you work on Saturday? Yes. Hey, Joe, can you work late Friday night? Yes. Joe, can you come on Sunday afternoon? Yes. And I always said yes. And so it never bothered me because what are you doing? Oh, it was just sort of a mindset. I'm going to do whatever it takes to pay for my family. So it was always a simple answer to me. So when I get asked that, people don't like messing with their system. They got a nice 40-hour work week system, and it's great. God bless America. But most of the world doesn't work 40 hours a week. Most of the world works a lot. And so we've been blessed to be here. So when you get through the COVID or whatever, well, we just got to make some adjustments. So I had teachers of mine when I was a Christian school administrator. One guy, he had six kids, six boys. And he worked every weekend in the local grocery store. What you doing? He's stocking the shelves, the Coca-Cola and the Pepsis and, you know, the Sprites and whatever. And then he'd work a little quick trip place on a Sunday afternoon. He did whatever it took. Now, both of them have degrees. They live up in North State right now. They're doing very well. But there was a season where, matter of fact, they rented out one of their bedrooms to one of the Bible school students, and they didn't have any extra bedrooms. We go to, we do whatever it takes. You do whatever it takes for that season. This won't last forever, but what is it? What do you need? Well, do whatever it takes. It's a long answer.
Well, and I do agree with that. I do think there's a spiritual element to this as well. And this is what I would say. I think that everybody is struggling a bit in this economy.
Yes.
Obviously, things have changed in the last couple of years. Our gas is increasing by the day.
Yes.
My electric bill doubled, and I was shocked. I was like, you know what kind of car I could be driving for this? And I mean, things have changed dramatically. Now, our income didn't change, but our outgo certainly has changed. And so I very much can relate to what you said. Now, here's the spiritual element of that's the practical, fleshly element of it. But there is a spiritual side to this. And there's a couple things I'd say to you in regards to this. One is that the Bible talks about giving us witty inventions and ideas. And we don't talk about that very much.
No, we do
actually
not.
I don't know that I've ever heard anybody talk about that. But, you know, God wants to be involved in our dreaming life and our fulfilling our purpose life, too. And that's part of it. So, I mean, but we have to apply our faith to that. And in that, I think I would start saying that, God, you've given me witty ideas and inventions.
Yeah, I confess I have the mind of Christ, the wisdom of God. I mean, I get up in the morning. I've got the mind of Christ today. God's going to order my steps. I'm going to be in the right place at the right time. God's going to open doors for me that no man can shut. I've done that for so many years because I had to. Angel, you know, when she's a single mom, we had to. There was no option. I'm believing God. Every day of my life, I'm believing God. And so how do you do that? Well, I start saying what God said. I'm praying what God said to pray. There's both sides. There's the work, but there's the spiritual side to it. If you're not doing both, you're going to come up short somewhere.
The other thing that I would say is years ago, I heard a great preacher, a fantastic old preacher, and he said, and I've never heard anybody say this before either, he said that God said he would bless our storehouses.
Ooh.
And he said most of us just have one storehouse.
Yep.
And so I started listening to what he said. He goes, you know, I have a storehouse for, like, if things go wrong with my house, upkeep. I have a storehouse for vacations. I have a storehouse for, you know, retirement. And he said, and every time I get paid, if it's $1, $5 or whatever, I just put it in the storehouse, what I can in each storehouse. And I always put a little something in there. Yep. And I just ask God to bless it. Well, I was just like, well, we had a new church and we were just starting. I said, well, that's right. He's absolutely right. And I said, I'm going to do that. I said, every time, you know, something comes in, we got to put some money in a storehouse. And I created all these different storehouses just like they did. And God supernaturally blessed those in a huge way. Actually, now that I'm saying that, I need to get back to that. I haven't thought about that in years. But
because when you start, you're so offended. Like, oh, Lord, how long do you just put $2 in this thing? That's not going to do anything. Well, it's $2, but you more than you had last week.
And it starts to grow, and God just blesses. So if you do have to get a second job or something for a season of time, take those storehouses and trust God that it will just be for a season of time.
Yes.
A lot of times now people have second incomes. They do stuff on the internet and different things. So there's other creative ways that you can do things. I empathize with you very much. I think we as a world are going through this right now. And so this is a time to lean on God. This is a time to do all we can in the natural and trust him for the supernatural.
There's always a way out, but you got to look for it.
Well,
like Angel, you got to look for it. There's got to be something I can do. What can I do?
But it can't be just on you. It has to be the God factor as well.
Yes, it does. Great question.
All right, Joe, my husband is very anxious about the future, and I see my kids taking on that same nature and attitude. How do I help them if my husband doesn't change himself?
Well, you've got to take it on yourself, you know. Bible's just loaded with scriptures about the future. You know, take no thought. Take no thought. Don't worry about it. Roll your cares over to God, for God cares for you. You're not supposed to be worried about anything. Worry's a sin. It's a sin to worry. So I just would, when I first started, I got a 3x5 card, and I put three scriptures on it. I had three scriptures on every 3x5 card. What's this? Well, this is my don't worry card. Roll your cares over to God. So every day, man, God, I got a lot of thoughts on my mind. None of them are good. Well, God, I'll just go give these thoughts to you. And so I used to just take a yellow pad and I'd write down everything I'm thinking. Well, how are we going to pay for this? How are we going to get this? How are we going to get this kid into college? I need a new transmission. Man, the tires are ballered and the baby's behind. And I just write them down. And I just said, well, Lord, there's all my need. You said, I'm to come boldly to the throne of grace, get mercy up in time of need. And I got a lot of need. So I'm going to roll all this over on you because you know what I need before I needed it myself. You said you'd supply my needs, so I'm just going to wad this up, throw this trash can, and I'm going to give it to you. I'm just going about my business today. I got a lot of stuff to do today. And every day, I remember one time it was almost 3 weeks, I would write it out every day, wad it up, throw it in the trash can. I'm just giving my cares to God. And I had to mentally do that to get it used to, no, if I carry this, I'm not God. I can't fix this. Only God can fix this. So I got to have learned, we could, I gave it to God.
I heard somebody say yesterday, now I don't know if it's true, I haven't researched it yet, but I'm going to put it out there. It said 365 times it says in the Bible, do not be afraid.
Ooh.
I don't know that that number is accurate, but I can tell you it does say that an awful lot. And it talks about the peace of God.
Yeah.
It's that God is our very present help in a time of need. There's so many things that God has for us in resting. Now, the world is barraging us with fear, it's through the media, through movies, through video games, through everything, everywhere we turn.
You're not afraid, we'll give you something to be afraid about.
Yeah. If you listen to the world, then you're going to take on anxiety. The whole COVID thing, people were listening to the news and children picked it up. My daughter is a preschool teacher. My son also teaches right after her, first, second, third grade. And they said the anxiety among children today is unbelievable, and how much it has set kids back, the fear. My daughter is tiny, 4'11", 95 pounds, and she said her neck yesterday hurt so bad because the kid was just clinging to her, and just there was so much fear and anxiety. That is from the devil. Peace is from God.
Yep.
Confidence is from God.
Yes.
You know, that's why he sent the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is our comfort, our very present help in a time of need.
Yes.
So what I would do if I were you is I would start speaking those scriptures. I'd put 3x5 cards all over the house with those scriptures all over them. I'd start making your kids start saying them.
Yeah.
And every time they hear something negative, start with a positive. And every time maybe your husband turns on the news or something else, I don't even watch the news.
Nope.
Because it doesn't affect me, because I live by a different standard. And so I just don't even watch it, because it's just full of doubt and unbelief, which it's trying to do. The devil knows his days are numbered.
He's
coming out of all the stops with, you know, sexual stuff, with stuff with. It's just disgusting what we're hearing about all over the land. And
we're all going to die early. They're going to blow us up. There's going to be a nuclear explosion.
And you know, you hear in the Bible says in the last days, good is evil and evil is good.
Yep.
So we can't look at what the world is saying. If we do, we are going to be consumed with fear.
Well, the Bible says, think on these things, whatever is lovely, honest, just, praiseworthy, good report. Think on these things. Don't think on those things. What those things? The fear things. Don't think on that. Think on these things. You got to control your own thought life. You can't let a thought bounce around your head like a ping pong ball on a concrete floor. You don't think. How do you change what you think? People ask, well, Joe, how do you change what you think? You get your mouth moving. Your brain will follow your mouth. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. Call those things to be not as though they are. Well, people say, well, you're just goofy. No, I'm biblical. I'm doing what God said. How do you fight an unbelieving world that you're just buried in every day, trying to scare with new stuff all the time? There's a new disease, things coming, the finances going under, we're going all broke. No, I'm a child of the living God. I'm going to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Everything I put my hand to is going to prosper. I'm surrounded with a shield of divine favor. People like me, they don't even know why they like me. You got to start saying what God says, but you can't say what God says if you don't know it. So you got to get that Bible open, get in a great local church, listen to your pastor, fellowship with the saints, and start quoting some of God's word.
Yes.
It'll change your world. It will.
It absolutely will. And, you know, there's a spirit of fear.
Yes.
And
it's real.
You can bind that. That
yes.
has no right to come into your household.
No.
And certainly not over your children. So,
listen, we've done some people think would be silly things. We've anointed every doorpost of our house with oil. Now, I speak of, Father, no spirit of fear is going to come in this house. With long life, you're going to satisfy, show us your salvation. We have divine favor. Angels, there's so many angels around our property at night, you can't even count them. The Bible says that they're innumerable. So many angels watch over the saints of God. And so, you got to start thinking what God's already said and say what He said, realize. I don't have a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. God said that. I didn't say that.
And He's
God
also promised us a sweet sleep. So
I
would anoint the beds and say, my children can have a sweet sleep. They will not have bad dreams.
Yeah, we've done.
They will wake up refreshed.
Prayer cloth and stuck them under the pillowcase because my kid lays his head. You may not know it, but that thing's anointed. You're going to sleep good tonight in Jesus' name.
So you have authority, Mama.
Yes.
You can change this situation.
Yes.
All right, Joe, what's the best easily understood translation to help teach your children the Bible?
New Living Translation, my favorite. And I've talked about it a long time. There's a lot of great translations. There's a lot of them. And people say, what's your favorite translation? Well, pick you one out. And so, but I like the New Living Translation. It's a modern English. It's like a greased banana peel and a wet bar of soap.
But I do think Joe has a great book that that he really, if you have smaller children, that book, what is that called?
Eggemeyer's Children's Bible Storybook. Ruth Eggemeyer. Warner Press, hardback book. Any bookstore in America's got it, Christian and secular. And so go and said, I'm looking for Eggemeyer's Bible Storybook. Oh, it's right here. Hardback, she was like 80 when she wrote it. She never had any kids, but she taught kids a whole lot. It is the best book I have ever read. And so people
and
said.
And I remember that time we saw Billy Graham's wife reading that book to her
That book to her own children. Even Billy Graham's family used that book. Phenomenal book to read to your kids. Short story. Doesn't take 3 or 5 minutes to read every story. I said, just read a story a day. Just do it with the breakfast table, the dinner table. Hey, I want to read a short story. Don't make it a religious thing. Just read a story.
And that is important because in so many churches today, we don't have Sunday school.
Nope.
You know, as a kid, I was raised in church. And as a kid, that's really where I learned the Bible more.
Yes.
Because I kind of checked out in the service, to be honest with you.
I'm on the back.
Unless the pastor's wife would start to come pray for us and we'd all go, here comes Esther.
Oh,
and we'd start to pray as hard as we could. But, so because of that, you know, the parents have to kind of beef up their game a little bit. And that is a great way to start the day with your kids.
Yes. So, but NLT, New Living Translation, that's my favorite one.
I love that one, too.
I know. Very good.
We love you guys so much. Praying you have a great, successful week of increase.
Yes.
In your finances, with your family.
Every year
God bless you. We love you so much. Have a great one.
Thanks, guys. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family, and we're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.